Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. For the first time ever, it's 2 days of triple headers.
Oh, my
Super
God.
Wild Card Weekend kicks off Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be one wild Wild Card Weekend.
I can't contain myself.
It's great. We can't go anywhere, so let's just stay in our houses and watch 2 days straight of playoff NFL football. What's better?
Like, it when days like that...
Is it a soup and sweater weekend, or is it a Corona weekend?
I have to work out for an hour on those days because I'll sit and eat all day. I will eat and pour cocktails and watch football for 9 hours and be delirious.
It's a great day.
Great day. Mark Dominic, former Bucks general manager, director of scouting for Tampa for a long time, one of the guys I lean on when we talk about personnel and stuff. He's joining us now live. And I got a bunch of stuff I want to throw to you, so I'm excited for this. So I made the argument for Urban Meyer this. When the Packers hired Matt LaFleur, you didn't need a culture changer. Their culture was fine, and they had Aaron Rodgers. To me, you needed a tweaker, somebody that connected with Aaron, tweak, refine, somebody that Aaron, almost just kind of viewed the world, same age, same demographic kind of. They kind of felt like they could have been like brothers, and McCarthy felt outdated. But there are opportunities like Matt Rhule, Carolina, needed a culture change. I think Jacksonville, Jets, need a culture change. I think Urban fits that. But you're an NFL guy, and a lot of people look at Urban as a college guy. Where do you fall on him?
Well, I don't fall into that concern of like college guy versus NFL guy. And Urban Meyer has been a successful coach wherever he's been. I think my biggest concern with Urban is I would want to know how committed and how long does he want to be a head coach. How long can he stay in the role? Because I don't want to just hire somebody for 2 or 3 years and then suddenly be like, you know what, I'm kind of done with this. This isn't really what I want to do. So that's the thing I worry about. And I think for Jacksonville, Colin, it's not just a culture change. It's an organizational change, not just with players. It's everything. I mean, you look at Jacksonville Jaguars, everybody goes, well, it's the greatest job you can have. Like, number one pick, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence. You got all the salary cap room. And I look at Jacksonville and go, if I'm the head coach or if I'm going to be the GM there, I want to know they want to spend some money. Sure, they've got $75 million of salary cap. Good for them. I wish they had $45 million, had Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue. So that's what I wish.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if you think of it the right way, I don't want that cap. I want a team that wants to buy players, spend on our drafted players, and keep them around. And that's why Jacksonville's a good job, but they've got to change the culture of the entire building, not just the players in the front office.
Listen, I know that we in the media are very rough on quarterbacks, but I'll give you an example. My kids are a lot smarter than me at their age. Why? The internet. They can just look up stuff. I couldn't. Oh, yeah. And so my kids are far more mature, far smarter than I was. By the way, their kids will probably be ahead of them because of cultural changes and technology advancements. And I know we're tough on quarterbacks, but we should be because they've been going on the last 15 years. They've got 10,000 snaps by the time they're 12. John Elway didn't have that. So I don't look at it the same way, Mark. I'm like, first 7-8 starts, you got to give me a whoa or a wow. And I look at Tua, I don't see whoa or wow. I see competent. They've got the third pick in Miami. Would you sniff around for a quarterback?
I think you have to, Colin. I think you have to do it. I mean, look, I know that obviously Josh Rosen did not pan out at all for Arizona. Miami liked enough, gave up a second-round pick, didn't even work out in Miami, you know, because, you know, they wanted to get Kyler Murray. And you could feel the difference with Kyler Murray in that football team. With Tua, you didn't feel the same quite explosion. You felt a good player. But I think you do a disservice when you have the number three pick overall. I kind of look at it this way. More than likely, they're going to stick with Tua. You listen to Chris Greer and what they're saying. But due diligence and not closing a blind eye and sit there and say, hey, look, if we fell in love with a quarterback over the next 3 months and took him, what's the worst thing that happens to this organization? We have two good young quarterbacks. We'll get value back out of it. It's okay. So, I mean, I think if you look at it from that standpoint, you have to do due diligence. I would never go out there and say, you know, that this is my guy unless it's – I mean, look at what even happened with the Green Bay Packers last year. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback that took Jordan Love. And so, you know, you see this kind of situation and you do the due diligence, Colin. You make sure you really got to fall out of love with all the quarterbacks and make sure that Tua is really the number one guy if you were to redraft it all again.
Yeah. No, I think the bottom line is it's a talent world. And
absolutely,
if on your board Justin Fields is number one and he's there, you almost do yourself and your owner a disservice if you don't get him. And like you said, let him compete. So I would say I didn't see John Elway. I saw highlights on television, but you know the games were not televised, so I didn't see John Elway. But I remember reading about John Elway in Sports Illustrated when he was like in college. He was the next thing. Andrew Luck, I saw him as a freshman, and I remember talking about him and saying, I'm not sure that's the best freshman quarterback I've ever seen. So Trevor Lawrence, to me, when he went his freshman year and Nick Saban had 6 weeks to prepare and he just humiliated him, I thought, that's the best quarterback prospect, including Andrew Luck, I've ever seen. But you may not look at it that way. When you see Trevor Lawrence, here's a concern I hear. Well, he plays for Clemson. He never gets hit. I mean, good God, the two times he was uncomfortable, he lost. Is that a fair criticism?
No, I think it's just a due diligence one again. I mean, Trevor Lawrence should and will be, I think, the number one pick in the draft. But again, you're Jacksonville. You have to make sure that the other guys fail the litmus test and Trevor Lawrence wins. Here's the inside information I can give you. I work with athletes all the time prior to the draft, just kind of walking them through the process. And to a man, every one of the defensive players that I've ever talked to over the last 3 years have said, this is the dude. He's the guy. And whenever you hear that from any kind of position, especially defensive side, and they rave about who he is from a character standpoint and a leader, and you make him make choices of like, well, Deshaun Watson or, you know, and it was Trevor Lawrence, as much as guys like both. You know, it's just that's how good this player was, and that's what he's thought of within that building. And I can't imagine somebody changing that. But again, if you're Jacksonville, take your time. You don't have to just put this one in pen, put it in pencil, but make sure it's, you know, number two pencil, not something weak.
So I'm hearing a lot of excuses. Oh, Kevin Stefanski's. He's not there this week. And I think to myself, all right, it's not ideal. But as Joy said earlier, the NFL's not ideal. Somebody's always hurt. Somebody's missing. Somebody on the staff. I mean, God, the Jets, Adam Gase and Greg Williams, we don't even think they liked each other. So, I mean, I look at it and I think to myself, do you get an out? Because Kevin Stefanski's not there for Baker this weekend.
No. I mean, that's life in 2020 in the National Football League. We don't even know if we get to the games yet. You know, there still could be an outbreak. And so you just have no idea. Every week could be different. And if I'm having to choose, do I want Kevin Stefanski there or Baker Mayfield? I want my quarterback there. So there could be worse things that could happen to an organization. You talked about it earlier. Scripting plays is a big part of it. Alex Van Pelt's been also part of this system now. He knows it very well. Alex knows it from Kevin Stefanski. Baker understands it. And this whole offense is run through those running backs anyway. Like, I love what Baker's been able to do this last quarter of the season, but it's all about those two running backs and play action. So, yeah, Joel Bitonio might not be out there, but if Wyatt Teller can play, he's just as awesome young guard that people are kind of talking about that don't realize how important and impactful he is. So he's going to be back out there. So I think they're okay. You know, he can remote teach this week. Yes. Is there going to be a situation at 3rd-and-2? But don't think Alex Van Pelt hasn't already talked to Kevin Stefanski. What's your favorite 3rd-and-2 play? There's going to already be all that dialogue because they can do that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, I made the comparison in the first hour. I said, there are certain people, Reed Hastings, who runs Netflix, Elon Musk, Tesla, you know, Steve Jobs, Apple, where they were almost viewed, Jeff Bezos, as kind of geniuses at their companies. And people can be successful working alongside them, but a lot of people leave thinking, you know, I'm just as smart as that guy. And they kind of disappear into the business ether. And a lot of Belichick's people, they just hired Nick Caserios in Houston as the GM. And I think, listen, if you looked at their last six drafts, if he's a director of player personnel, they weren't very good. And there's this sense that, okay, they got the wizard, Bill Belichick. Let's just hire guys next to the wizard. And I got to be honest, Mark, proximity to brilliance doesn't always equal brilliance. I thought it was a risky move by Houston to get a Belichick guy. Most people think, oh, that's the obvious. The resume shows me they don't draft particularly well.
Well, I can't disagree with you. I don't think the Patriots have drafted really well. But I will sit there and say there's a Patriot assistant that has actually had a tremendous year, if you think about it. Jason Light, the guy that replaced me at Tampa Bay, has had a tremendous year. And he's a Patriot you know, executive. He was part of that tree, and he's having success because of Tom Brady. And everybody doesn't get to take Tom Brady with them. And again, you've talked about this earlier. It's about players, not plays. It's about the quarterback. It's not the whole team. I mean, you can look at the Houston Texans and say J.J. Watt was a game changer, wrecker. They didn't make the postseason really until Deshaun Watson got in there and they was playing the quarterback position.
Yeah.
It's that important. That's why quarterbacks go up the draft board every year and move up to the top, and everybody's like, oh, they're overinflating them. Yeah, because if you don't have one, good luck. I mean, think about right now, if you're the Denver Broncos, you know, obviously John Elway's no longer going to hold on to the GM reign. Well, right now, no matter what, whoever they draft, whatever they do, is going to have the fourth quarterback in that conference, or in that division. That's hard to be in.
Yes.
That's a tough spot. And so, you know, in this kind of situation, you know, when you look through it all, I understand what you mean about the Patriots, and I agree with you. I think you got to look at the body of work of what's been going around. But this is about a quarterback-driven league. And so the one thing Nick Cassero gets, he doesn't have to worry about that position, and that's a nice thing to be in. But I don't think it means – I think that if you're going to put out the interview for all those other people and say you're going to interview them and then don't, I think that's wrong.
Finally, Justin Fields looked great against Clemson. Have you ever just – when you look at a player, and Justin Fields, a lot of critics before the game, hot, cold, didn't be – and then he plays Clemson, he looks great. Can you look at a game and take too much from one game? Like Justin Herbert was so good in the Rose Bowl, all the critics were like, yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, do you look at Justin Fields and go, that Clemson game, that seals it?
No, it just helped him. You know, we would take different grades for different parts of the season and put it all together. Like you look at 100% scale or percentage points, and you'd sit there and say the regular season's worth 70 to 80% because that's a big part of it. But you've got the combine and the pro day that are worth something. You've got all-star games possibly that are worth something. You've got the bowl game that's worth something. And so all those things are part of it. And you have to individually categorize it because you can overweight something. You got to give the regular season its due diligence. That's really important. Although it's a shortened regular season for Ohio State, it still is very important in the overall picture of this player. So the bowl game should carry a little bit more weight if the player decides to play in it. And so this should help him. But he was already considered a top first round, top 10, top 15, easy quarterback. Now he's going to be considered obviously top three, top four, top five. But I don't think it's really changed anybody's opinion. People like the athlete. They like the arm strength. They like the instincts. And they like the player. And he did a great job. And we'll see what he can do on Monday.
Mark Domenech, good talking to you again. Always love chatting. This is just right in my wheelhouse. All this draft stuff. I sit around and watch mock drafts all weekend. I got no life. Mark, great seeing you.
Enjoy the weekend, man.
All right. Former Tampa Bay Bucks GM. By the way, the weather's unpredictable. Be prepared. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades last two times longer. Available only at Walmart. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Josh Allen and the Bills are red hot heading into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But after a heartbreaking loss in the postseason last year, yeah. Allen is using everything he's learned since then to be better prepared this time around.
Nothing matters unless we win this one. And that's our mindset. You know, we're going from playoff caliber to championship caliber. Something the coach McDermott always preaches to us. Obviously, if I can go back and change things, I would. But I'm glad that they went down the way that they went down. I was able to learn a lot from it and hopefully carry that, you know, playoff experience into Saturday's game.
If you remember, I don't know if this is playing any sort of role in Nick making that bet with you a couple weeks ago, but the Bills did blow a 16-point lead in the second half.
Let's not get into
against the Texans.
Let's not get into it.
Playoff game and lost 22-19 in overtime.
The Colts may lead at half. They've been a very interesting team. The question becomes: you're off script second half. Josh Allen, Phillip Rivers. That's where the game changes to me. Like I think the Colts will come in. They'll run the football. But boy, these playoff games, as we've seen from Patrick Mahomes and Brady, you got to make plays in the last two or three drives. Russell Wilson, that's the difference. You got to make plays.
Yeah, no lead is too much.
And Philip, off script, I get nothing from Philip. I get everything from Josh Allen.
I don't have a lot of faith in Philip Rivers either. But I do think that this is put up or shut up time for the Bills. And I think that they will, convincingly, but they're 6.5-point favorites.
So what's convincingly to you?
First of all, Josh Allen has to come out and have a great performance. Look, it doesn't matter. If you win the game, you win the game. It doesn't have to be pretty. But they do need to win the game. Like, this, they have to win this playoff game. I don't think that the Bills would have a disappointing season if they don't make it to the Super Bowl. But certainly, if they don't win a playoff game,
oh no, if
this
they
is
lose
a disaster.
This, oh yeah, if you don't win a play, if they don't win this weekend, it's a disaster.
Like this, they haven't not won a playoff game under Josh Allen. But this is like all the pressure is on the Bills.
So I'm gonna go.
What are you going? What's happening?
30-20.
Oh, okay.
Bills.
30-20. Yeah, so that's convincing.
Yeah, 30-20.
We win by two scores. So many people were not happy with the way the Eagles managed their game against Washington this week.
Yeah.
This is not going away. And one of those people was Emmett Smith. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, he ripped the Eagles game plan, saying the message that you're sending is not the message I grew up with. Never quit. Always fight to the end and give your best performance every time. You have to play with honor. You have to play with respect of the game. You have to do it for yourself because you don't want your players to take on a mentality of, oh, are we out of it? The game is over. We might as well just lay down.
You know what? I tend to not be one of these, like, integrity honor guy things. Like, it's a little bit, it's a little waving the flag thing for me sometimes, a little up top. But I will say, there is something, you're disrespecting your teammate if you lay down. Like, if, I remember as a kid playing wiffle ball, and I was crushing a kid, crushing him. And I just got tired of crushing him. And I stopped playing hard. And he got mad at me. He goes, crush me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but again, when you're not playing your hardest, you're really not just disrespecting the game. You're disrespecting your opponent.
Disrespecting your opponent, yes. I tore my ACL playing soccer about 6 years ago, so I don't really compete in a lot of things anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's no way to spend a year. But if I am going to do anything, like playing beach volleyball or any type of competition, you better play harder. I don't want to participate.
That's right.
It's not for me. I totally agree. This story is going to carry on for a while. I think it was a very poor decision because it really changed how you're looking at the off season for the Eagles.
Yeah.
So today's a very big day in sports history.
It is.
Yes, let's take a look at some of the biggest things that happened on January 6th. On this day, 1985, Dan Marino and the Dolphins won the AFC Championship game. Look at that pick. Look at Dan Marino. 45-28 victory over the Steelers to reach the first and only Super Bowl in Marino's career. Also on this day, the Raiders announced that they had hired John Gruden as the head coach for the second time and gave him the richest contract in the NFL with $100 million
for
10 years.
2 years ago? Okay.
2018, January 6th. And also in 2018, Marcus Mariota threw one of the most improbable touchdown passes in history. Let's take a listen.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Mariota takes the snap, looks to his right, looking, flushed out. Now back to his left, pumping, throwing into the end zone. No, he kept it. Dove for the end zone himself and got in. It was batted back to him. He did throw it. He caught it for a touchdown. Touchdown, Titans!
That was a great play.
And finally, today is our very own Colin Cowherd's birthday.
Yeah, let's woohoo!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are you having a good birthday?
Tonight, I'm having a couple of socially distanced friends over and having chicken parm and garlic bread and banana cream pie.
That's a good meal.
From Slay Restaurant in Manhattan Beach, the world's best banana cream pie. It is so insane.
You do love that. Rick Bucher, I think, was talking about the banana cream
pie. Oh, my God. It's insanely good.
That's awesome. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
We appreciate
you. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Terry McLaurin, the Washington football team wide receiver. They take on Tom Brady in Tampa. Our pleasure. A Buckeye, by the way, as well. He's joining us next. M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com today. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, what a country.
What a world.
What's trending now, Joy?
Let's see. What is trending right now? Civil War is trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
National Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All cheekiness aside, please stay safe if you're in the D.C. area today.
Crazy.
It's very disheartening.
Remarkable how many people in America thought he was the savior of their party. And as of last night in Georgia, he decimated the party. Trump decimated it. No momentum. Senate.
Well, there's consequences to every decision.
That's right. Every word, every sentence. The higher profile your office, words should be selected more carefully because they have incredible power and influence. When you just sit on Twitter and post 48 times a day, crazy town. Terry McLaurin has just been great. Third round pick, Ohio State. He has over delivered. He probably didn't see it that way, but he's been unbelievable. A second year in the NFL, and he has now led the Washington, almost had 90 catches, 1,200 yards, 134 targets. He is a number one receiver in the NFL, and they got him in the third round. Not supposed to work that way, but he's a Pro Bowl level guy. Terry McLaurin is now joining us live. He's also an Ohio State Buckeye, so I know he's in a pretty good mood. He's an Ohio State Buckeye, and first of all, you've been great, and not everybody is great. This is a hard league. When did you know, first practice, you got into the NFL and you thought, hey, I'm pretty good. This is going to work out for me. When did you know?
Everything happened so fast once I got here. I was getting first team reps a little bit. I was doing special teams, so my head was kind of spinning. But when I got in, because I didn't play in the preseason. So when we first game was against Philly, at Philly. And my first target, I was like, okay, I could do this. And then I scored that long touchdown from Case Keenum. And,
yep.
And then I was like, I could hang in here. So after that, it was fun, though. So I was fortunate to come into a situation where I could compete for the job early.
Hey, listen, Alex Smith is an amazing story. I know Alex. You're starting to be a star. He's now going to be leaving soon. What do you take from Alex? What does he teach you? What is it like to be around a guy that's had 17 surgeries in 1 year in his leg?
Yeah. The moment's not too big for Alex. His poise, no matter what he's been through, from his 17 surgeries to the ups and downs of the season, to being hurt and having to be called upon to help us get into the playoffs. I mean, no moment is too adverse for him. And, you know, he doesn't make it about him at the end of the day. It's always about the team. It's always about how he can help us, put us in the best situation to be successful. And you always want to go to a battle for a guy like that. I mean, I've had some things that I've been dealing with this year, but seeing all the things that he's been dealing with, it pales in comparison. So I'm glad he's on our team. And, you know, I don't know how much longer he has playing, but the number one thing I've learned from him is you can come overcome any situation as long as you put your mind to it. And the one phrase he says every time we go out to the field is just live. And there was a time where he didn't know if he was going to be able to live or not. So I feel like that fits really, really, really well.
Wow. Ron Rivera is a guy that walks. He's a big dude. He's a former player. He's a man's man. And he walks in and you guys got off to a slow start, new coach, new playbook, new system, 1-5. And all of a sudden it started to click. And talk a little bit about Ron's influence. And when you knew in this season, you're like, okay, now we're all kind of gelling.
Yeah. When we were going through our ups and downs in the season, Coach Rivera, the message stayed the same. And it started with the way we were practicing. We had to bring more intensity to practice. We had to bring more consistency to practice. And we started to seeing the benefits of that during our games. Playing four-quarter football was one of our Achilles heel. I feel like we would have great first halves and we have tough second halves. We'd have great second halves and have tough first halves. So I feel like, you know, over the course of the season, we've really played more consistently, I feel like. Although, you know, we haven't necessarily played our best ball yet, I feel like we put ourselves in a situation to have a lot of success because we started to play some complimentary football headed by our defense who are having a great year. But we've got a coach like Coach Rivera where you know the standard, you know the expectation of what's expected when you come into the building every day. It gives a sense of clarity throughout this whole building that has been very refreshing for us this year. So to see what he's been going through, and it seems like he hasn't even missed a day, missed a step. The energy that he comes with every day is really cool.
So your Buckeye buddy Chase Young's out there talking some smack, and Brady just probably smirking at all that stuff.
Yeah.
So when Chase said that, did you think, man, shh, don't say anything. Come on. What did you make of it?
It was funny because we were running off the field at the same time when I heard him say it. So I mean, at the end of the day, Chase is a grown man, and I say that with a lot of respect because, you know, the way he's came in and helped change our team this year has been nothing short of amazing, the way he comes in every single day. But we're going against one of the best players of all time, not just at his position. And he's been in this scenario more times than we can count. And this is my first playoff game, and this is probably his 40th or something like that. You know what I mean? And you know they're going to be very poised coming in here. You know they're going to be ready. And they got a very great offense and a good defense coming in here. But Tom knows what it's like to be in these situations. And, you know, I feel like Chase is going to come out and try to back up what he said. But I like his confidence, and, you know, we're going to try to support and rally around him and have a good game on Sunday.
By the way, one of eight players with 1,000-plus receiving yards in 15 or fewer games this season, Terry McLaurin, if you're listening on radio, has just been an unbelievable third-round pick. So Ohio State, Alabama, I think it's very competitive. I don't think either defense, yeah. I don't think either defense is going to stop. Gonna stop either. Your kind of take on, you know, you probably play with some Alabama guys and they love to talk, blah, blah, yeah. blah, and you probably play against some Alabama guys. I actually think Ohio State can win. I'm not sure they will. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, I mean, I know you still watch Buckeye stuff. Can they compete with Bama? Can they compete with them?
I mean, I think we're built very similarly. The team's very heavy in the trenches offensively and defensively. I feel like that's where that game's going to be won. We pride ourselves on being tough on the offense and defensive line, and they're going to have to control the line of scrimmage, get some pressure on Mac Jones, and try to limit those big plays from Devontae Smith and a lot of the dynamic players that they have, Najee Harris. But we got dynamic players too. We got Justin Fields. We got Chris Olave. You know, Trey Sermon is playing really great right now, Garrett Wilson. So, I mean, I feel like it's going to be a heavyweight fight, and that's why you come to Ohio State to play in these big games. But I probably have about 8 or 9 Alabama teammates on my team right now, so I'm not gonna make any predictions, but just in case, I got plenty of gear for them if it comes out on the right side.
Well, you're an incredibly easy guy to root for. Terry McLaurin, congratulations. You had, by the way, I'm just looking at your stats here real quick. 7 catches, week 17 win over the Eagles. So you're hot. You're ready to play, dude. You're ready to go. Good luck to you. I'd love to have you on the show again. And what a future you have. You have, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you very much. Look, this guy is,
yes, sir.
This guy, sir, he calls me. I wish my coworkers were as respectful as Terry McLaurin is to me. I'll tell you that. Thanks, buddy. All right.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, he's been great. And by the way, when you listen to him and just the way in which it, like, that's a professional athlete. By the way, not just like plays football. See how everything's business.
Yeah.
You can just tell. That guy goes to work. That's a businessman right there.
He is an example of why the NFC East, there's a lot of pressure on Philadelphia to get it together. They're going to be a lot better next season. The Giants are getting better. Cowboys are getting Dak back.
I'd like to say this to the rest of the staff. Did you notice how he treated me? Almost bordered on respectful. One day of the year, I get treated okay around
here. Offered to take a ketchup and mustard L for you.
You did. You got, folks, sometimes, Joy, I'm not even going to get into specifics. A couple days ago, I learned something in the morning. I just couldn't even, I mean, I thought about it all day. I couldn't even figure it out. And then this morning, you gave me oatmeal cookies.
Yes.
And then, and you were so nervous on the Nick Wright thing. Two times since we've done this show, I've looked over to you, and you were nervous.
What was the other time?
I got emotional one day about, you weren't nervous. You were, it was during some of the social unrest.
Oh, okay,
I got very emotional on the air, and you were like my sister. You were like looking over me. It was one of those, you looked at me like, are you okay? And I'm like, no.
I gotta be here.
I'm never okay.
Happy birthday.
I'm this far from unraveling every day. It's the herd.